Not when they ask me, you know. Those substitute jobs.
All right, 7 o'clock, if you wanna start your interviews.
I don't know if you can.
You on?
Yep.
All right, we're here for the Tuesday, September 7th, meeting of the City Council for the City of Portland. We'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Next item on the agenda is acceptance of the agenda. Do you have anything new and exciting, or is this pretty much what we're gonna run with?
We're on.
Okay. We have a motion.
Court.
Fitzsimmons?
Yes.
Vance Lambert?
Yes.
Johnston?
Yes.
Sheehan?
Yes.
And Barnes?
Yes. Next item is public comment. Anybody? Okay. Next one is City Manager Report. Mr. Dench.
Thank you, Mayor Barnes. We received a number of concerns, public safety concerns about the scaffolding there located at 170 and 172 Kent. There's a valid application and permit for the sidewalk obstruction, but in addressing that manner, I think our ordinance is under review right now, and we're working through that internally to make sure that that permit, as well as that ordinance, is addressing the community needs, as well as the public safety concerns that came in. Appreciate the efforts towards addressing that. I want to thank Chief Thomas for those efforts as well, as we navigate that particular challenge. September Planning Commission, we do anticipate having a meeting for Edgemont Apartments and True Family Dental. True Family Dental is going through a parking lot expansion. We've had multiple conversations with them as it relates to the requirements associated with that parking lot expansion, as well as different renderings from True Family Dental. Edgemont Apartments, they're going for site plan approval. They went through a preliminary site plan approval a number of months ago. That delay was due to some state funding that has become available for them. Preliminary site plan approval went through Planning Commission without any major areas to be addressed. The outage on August 13th, we've done kind of like a, for lack of a better phrase, kind of like an autopsy on that particular outage, as well as the communication efforts from staff. And so we're just trying to get better on what that looks like. And so we had a really great conversation with the electric department, as well as some personnel, and just trying to strengthen those phone trees, write that communication down, plan for those statements outside of what can be a chaotic event when you're working through it. And then we were thinking of the pre-planned outages as well. What can our enhancements be towards that communication effort too? And so the city of Portland's kind of on a diagonal. And so when we describe our circuits, west, east, sometimes that can be confusing to residents. So we had some conversations as it relates to maps, so folks can identify where their home is. And just, again, some of the communication efforts there. And I appreciate everyone's contributions towards that effort. And we're just starting to flesh some of those plans out. Our safety committee met today. That is the outside vendor, Alpha and Omega. They're helping us with our safety program and some enhancements there, particularly for industrial safety. But we met as a group today to kind of unpack what those meetings are going to look like in the future. Put an emphasis on it is our safety program, and we all have a stake in that to move forward. But that was a hearty discussion today, and look forward to our next one. And we have those every other month. And that'll also be a review of near miss considerations, as well as maybe an unsafe work area that the group needs to talk about and address. So,
Did you indicate to me at one point that you were tying the scaffolding issues into some of the safety programs?
The scaffolding concerns there, everything's got to follow MIOSHA and those sorts of regulations. I do think that as we become more aware of the signage required on public streets and roads, I think staff will, I personally will be more in tune.
Yeah, it's
to
kind
what
of the
holistic look like.
Approach.
Yes, there's definitely concern, there's construction dynamics there, lack of activity. And as we were looking at other communities' ordinances, there were things that I think we should consider, and then that'll be for council to evaluate the merits.
Right, and I know that there are other issues associated with that, but we also have other construction that's coming up. We know that Mr. Cunningham wants to fill in some of that decking in the river river boardwalk thing. So, that all would tie into the permitting.
Well, yep, any sort of pedestrian interference on what that looks like, accessibility for all residents to navigate that. Scaffolding in particular, that was one bad dog away from having a real hard situation out there. And just to try and get some awareness as well as a mechanism towards enforcement. Because right now the ordinance we have towards enforcing that, I think there can be some enhancements there to incentivize activity as well as work being conducted.
Great, thank you. Sorry about that.
No worries. Plaza 103 continues with Plaza Development as well as the business owner tap in for the lateral there. We've been having conversations with the River House. Try not to disrupt the business and do that tying on a day where they are not open. And so that's what we're working towards. We've got a progress meeting scheduled for tomorrow for that. At the DDA meeting on the 25th of August, a decision was made to use the remaining contingency funds that we have to add a couple additional amenities to the plaza. So there'll be a large kind of evergreen tree in the center there, but the DDA with the contingency funds we have remaining, there'll be two large maples there as well as a shade sale. So when we look at community gathering places or community spaces for people to mingle, enjoy themselves outside, take a look at the river, look at the park, I think those amenities will really draw towards what we're working towards. And then also the view, I think, from Kent Street onward should provide a nice outlook for residents and visitors. DPW Director, I guess Bloom and I did a preliminary review of the Divine Highway Bridge replacement engineering plans. The engineering team with Police and Vanderbilt made to submit three different plans to MDOT. And so we had a pretty good conversation as it relates to those preliminary drawings. We anticipate the public communication of that detour as well as the project plans to happen this month. So they're working on that original detour component, and then internal staff will be working on the subsequent questions to follow as it relates to city service. So how will emergency services go through? How will youth service work? What does that look like? And then the plan from there would be to kind of do a, speaking tour around to businesses, but also community stakeholder groups, and just to get that up front prior to those barrels taking place. And so we're working on an appropriate sign as well as map, and just that's going to be an intensive public engagement. But I think one that, if done right, we can do it in front of that project and really have folks be aware. That information will also tie back to the website with some updates if things were to change as we move forward. And that's all I have. Any questions at all?
Questions or comments? Thank you, sir. Next up is presentations. DEA Director Tina Carr-Wellman with the Downtown Report.
Oh, Tina, did I steal your thunder on the... I apologize there. If you have a rendering, I don't know if I have that one.
I did not bring it with me.
I do have one. Do you want to speak to it as I pass it?
Thank you.
Oh, yeah,
because
we don't have the...
Not that camera.
So what you see there are two shade trees, and we're looking to put those in Plexipave. So that it's flat with the surface and that furniture can be moved near or farther from it. Also lower maintenance. And then also a shade sail to help provide more shade while those trees are growing. One of our board members asked if we were going to do trees, if we had an option to select who we would work with for those. And I did confirm that we would be looking to work with Fox Tree Farm, as they have been heavily donating with us throughout this year. You've got the numbers in front of you and the report in front of you. I thought this might be a good time to change things up a little bit and just kind of dig into some more information as we move along. So just wanted to let you know that Justin Ray, Farmers Insurance, this was their first jump into sponsorship with Brews and Pours, as well as Glassmasters, since they moved up to that area and into town. Edward Jones spoke with them. They fully expect to be back in to their building this month. We all know there's no contractors. So hopefully that will be a solution for them. I'll be meeting with the new manager at Huntington Bank this Thursday. She is interested in how to become more involved with the community and the community and businesses could use. So we'll talk about those as well as get her up to date with our onboarding materials. Sounds of Summer has been very lackluster this year. First of all, it seemed like it rained every Wednesday at the beginning of the year. But we did move it to the Red Mill, and then the people who joined us at the Red Mill wanted it to be there permanently. We just can't come to a reason why we would do that when we have a nice band shell. So, and I'm sure as many people who want one thing, the rest of people want the other. So there's that mix to work through with folks. We highly promoted, probably more than anything else, last week's Pale Mizzou. It was a family-focused event, and we brought in a foam machine earlier. She works and gets kids involved with the dancing and the singing and so on, and we had 10 to 12 people there. So that's an example of where we've been at. We do have two left to go. Sarita's Black Rose will be tomorrow night, and Russ Holcomb is doing a makeup day a week from tomorrow. So, hoping that more folks might turn out. The biggest turnout we had for the summer was We Three Strikes, and they were at the Red Mill, and there were 62 people. When we look at spending $3,500 to $4,000 for entertainment and have low turnout with that, we have to wonder if it's something the community really does want. So we'll discuss that more as our board and bring that more information to you. We've talked about the plaza. John has assured me it will all be within budget. Yes, fingers crossed. We did get information from the port that they plan on closing the day after Holiday Fest, and they will be renting for a steady income to Lions Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, so that Lions Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu can grow and have more space. Many of you may have seen that the Peak Building is for sale at 111 East Grand River Avenue, right adjacent to Don Jose and our new plaza. Apparently the idea of the tequila bar fell through for the gentleman who had it, and so they're looking to sell that to someone else for some other business. And we have a new business up at 1323 East Bridge Street. That's the little house type commercial building across from the VFW. They are financial planners. They're there for appointment only. So I don't even have their name yet. working with Terry on that. So that's what I have for you tonight. If you have any questions.
Any questions?
Go ahead. If one. When we did it, I just obviously knew it was going to get flipped maybe for a little bit, but when we did the splash pad, mm-hmm. part of that project was also some renovation to the ball field next to it.
That was at the beginning and got cut when we discovered how long or how much that project was. That was cut very early on.
Okay. I didn't know if it was just...
We talked about vacating the street.
Okay. And so it's out, is what you're saying?
Currently.
Okay.
It's not within our... It's not specifically within our TIF plan. There must be a way to work that in.
Okay.
Any other questions or comments?
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I am going to go home and finish a little canning project I have. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
See you next time.
All right. Next item on the agenda is new business number one is proposed resolution number 2557, approving, authorizing, and directing the mayor to sign an agreement for professional assessing services with Kara Doherty. Ms. Doherty has been our city assessor for the past, 3 years?
3 years, I believe, yep.
And I believe everything has worked out very well. And there's the contract is included. I think there may be a couple of housekeeping typo-type changes to it, but what we're looking for from the City Council tonight is an approval of having Ms. Doherty continue for the next 3 years as our city assessor.
And if I could, Mayor, maybe highlight some of the changes there or pieces of the contract, if that's
whatever.
Okay?
Yeah.
I think Kara does a wonderful job for the city in that part-time capacity. As I discussed with Mayor Barnes, I always have some reservations when someone's providing residents service, but they're only present here one day a week. How do you navigate that? And also juggle the value between the amount of assessing work that we would have as a community of our size. I think Kara does a wonderful job of navigating that by appointments, and she's also very responsive on the days that she is not present. And then if you look at the cost of what it would take to kind of retain a level 3 assessor, which Kara currently is, ballpark in Michigan, that's around $66,000 to $85,000 a year. Our contract has significant savings. I believe first year is around $43,000. And then some nuanced changes from the prior agreement to this agreement proposed for consideration in front of you. There was a 5% increase from the last year of the contract prior to this first year of the contract, and then it's a 3% salary growth bump after that, which I think is very fair. The prior agreement at that time, Ms. Doherty was a level 2 assessor. She's now level 3. The assessing levels go 1 through 4 throughout the state, and the credentialing is correlated to the population as well as the difficulty of the parcels that you're tasked with equalizing and kind of managing there. The new agreement has in there one office day per week. The prior agreement, I believe, had 16 hours of being attentive. I think managing those resident expectations has not been an issue. And I've called her on non-Tuesdays, and she's been very responsive with those particular nuances. And then another pivot within this agreement is that if she is unavailable due to illness or some sort of piece for board of review, the prior agreement had that the clerk would occupy those duties. This new agreement has a representative of her small business, which would be her husband, who's also within the assessing field and does help out from time to time. So, any questions at all?
My experience with her has been she does a great job, and The Board of Review is something that we try to keep, one of the main boards that we need to keep filled. And Mickey, I think we have, with the Board of Review, it's a three-person mm-hmm. board. And don't we have, did we have four? Because I wanted.
We had you had appointed an alternate, which yeah. I think might be Mike Fox. If I remember correctly.
No, well, I think Mike was one of the originals, as well as
Mike Judd and Doug Logo.
Yeah. And then did the lady Michelle
Breeden? She's on there.
She's on there too. Mm-hmm. So because yeah. that's it's so hard because when somebody does, first of all, it's like being on the board of being on the zoning board of appeals. These people come in and they're hopped up because of their taxes, and it's not a real pleasant seat to occupy. And then you have to be knowledgeable. I mean, you have to go through training to be able to, you know, even though Kara's right there to assist in things. So anyway, she does a good job of mm-hmm. training those folks or seeing that they get their training. And then I'm more aware of her efforts because of the fact that it's a hard board to keep populated. So she's done well with that. So with that, are there any questions or comments regarding approving this contract with Ms. Doherty for assessing services for the City of Portland? Hearing none, do we have a motion?
Move to approve resolution number 25-57.
Support.
Johnston?
Yes.
Sheehan?
Yes.
Vince Lambert?
Yes.
Fitzsimmons?
Yes.
And Barnes?
Yes. The next item on the agenda is proposed resolution number 2558, approving the second of two payments for the interconnect fee for the Grant Street substation project. And it's pretty self-explanatory. This thing is going to be costly to get done, but at the same time, it's... You know, it's a wonderful thing to have this substation replace the old one and have it be relocated to where it will be. And also to have all the updates and improvements and so forth that need to be in it. So did you want to add anything?
I agree with everything you're saying. We're looking forward to getting that project underway, and or not underway, but complete. Right, that's our part of the transition and the lead times, as well as the oversight with Superintendent Gavin. It's been very good NFS practice.
Yep. So, with that, are there any questions or comments regarding proposed resolution number 2558? Hearing none, do we have a motion?
Move to approve resolution 25-58.
Support.
Vince Lambert?
Yes.
Fitzsimmons?
Yes.
Johnston?
Yes.
Sheehan?
Yes.
And Barnes?
Yes. Item C is proposed resolution number 2559, approving the purchase of a Viper recloser and associated equipment for the Grant Street substation project for the electric project. Again, this is our substation, and I do recall a couple years ago, when we replaced those closers, and I didn't understand it any better then than I do now, other than the fact that they're not cheap, and they do, I think we had to cut power for about 24 hours to facilitate the installation of these, I guess they're like glorified circuit breakers. So I'm just curious, are we able to reuse the ones that are currently being used, or are we, it says, purchase of one additional recloser. But I was just curious if we're, just replace, how many of them are going to be, and because we talk about, like you just, before the meeting you mentioned, we've got West Circuit, Industrial Circuit, South Circuit, and nobody knows what circuit they're on for the most part. So
I would have to follow up with you with the answer, and I can do that with a follow-up email. So.
That's fine. No, I just was curious because, again, when they go, it's problematic, and we want to make sure we have the best equipment in place, especially if it's a new substation. So, With that, are there any questions or comments regarding proposed resolution number 2559? Hearing none, do we have a motion?
Move to approve resolution 25-59. Support.
Sheehan?
Yes.
Johnston?
Yes.
Vance Lambrook?
Yes.
Fitzsimmons?
Yes.
And Barnes?
Yes. Item D is proposed resolution number 2560, approving payment to Ferriby Mechanical for repairs made to the Norberg and Fairbanks Morse engine generators at the electric department. I love these machines because they're so old school, it's ridiculous. And I think one of them is actually, if not the one of the ones that's currently in place, one that was there prior was off of an old submarine that they decommissioned, and they're using this diesel engine to run this generator, so it's awesome. And anyway, it's great that they're able to even maintain these things, let alone because it says at the beginning of the resolution, the market value of $310,000 per year to have just the capacity to run these things. So we're spending $78,500 to fix them up so they run well, but obviously it's going to pay for itself within a few months. So.
Yeah, and there's a, if I could, remember, there's a kind of continuous dialogue with Superintendent Davlin as well as state regulatory environmental guidance. 2035 is right when that renewable energy conversation will take place. And that's something that we're continuously monitoring, as well as the repair bill, with that critical decision time in 2035. So at this point, I believe it makes all fiscal sense to do the repairs, but it is something that we're keeping an eye on.
So you're saying instead of fixing these, we should be adding on to the dam?
There could be some line of thought in 2035 where that would make a little bit more sense. And then this is absolute just color commentary, but as they were doing the repair, I asked if I could go take a look, just because it's not often these machines are kind of cracked open. And,
sure.
And I think I caught the guys at lunchtime, so they're eating with the greasy hands and kind of working at that, all the things that, the skills I don't have. So just a lot of appreciation for the crew that was out. Superintendent Davila did indicate it's kind of like the best crew that they've had kind of come on out from Ferriby, very pragmatic individuals working towards a solution. And so that was just refreshing to hear, as well as it was nice to kind of get a seat inside the machine. So.
Well, Ferriby, they bring these guys from like Iowa.
They do. Yeah, they have to fly them in and we have to schedule them.
Yeah.
And I know that was a particular hardship because we had some market dynamics where we could have ran, but we were waiting on them to kind of come on in for the repair. So that was a little frustrating, but at the same time, we can only do what we can do.
Sure.
So.
Very good. Yeah, okay, perfect. So with that, are there any questions or comments regarding proposed resolution number 2560? Hearing none, do we have a motion?
Move to approve resolution 25-60.
Support.
Fitzsimmons?
Yes.
Sheehan?
Yes.
Vance Lambrook?
Yes.
Johnston?
Yes.
And Barnes?
Yes. Item E is proposed resolution number 2561, approving a contracted services agreement with Dorsey Colleges to provide tuition discounts for Portland ambulance employees. This is an outfit down in Minneapolis that is there to give training for the paramedics that want to become, I guess move up the ladder of paramedicism. And so they're able to go to the school and get, we get a break on the tuition, and it's a win-win, I would think, across the board. So are there any questions or comments regarding proposed resolution number 2561? Hearing none, we have a motion.
Move to approve resolution 25-61.
Support.
Vince Lambert?
Yes.
Johnston?
Yes.
Fitzsimmons?
Yes.
Sheehan?
Yes.
And Barnes?
Yes. Next item on the agenda is the consent agenda. We have the minutes and the synopsis of the regular city council meeting and the closed session held on August 18th, 2025. We have payment of invoices in the amount of $339,044.44. We have payroll in the amount of $175,480.90 for a total of $514,525.34. We have two purchase orders over $5,000. Trojan Technologies in the amount of $5,986.45 for UV light kits for the wastewater treatment plant. And the second purchase order over $5,000 is to Joint Michigan Apprentice Program in the amount of $6,000 for tuition fees for our electric department employee who's working his way from landman or groundman?
I think groundman towards
lineman.
Lineman.
Yeah. So lineman is actually a distinction that you're working up on the line as opposed to in the ground. All around here, lines are in the ground, so it becomes confusing. With that, are there any questions or comments regarding the consent agenda? Hearing none, do we have a motion?
Move to approve the consent agenda.
Support.
Johnston?
Yes.
Sheehan?
Yes.
Vince Lambert?
Yes.
Fitzsimmons?
Yes.
And Barnes?
Yes. Next item on the agenda is city manager comments.
No additional comments?
We had talked a little bit earlier about the enunciation of cheating in Minnesota. If you could just kind of talk a little bit about that, I'll defer to you. My only thoughts are, what have we learned from yet another tragedy that is beyond comprehension?
Yeah, I think, again, it's just a level of sadness that another community is going through. As we're working through some of our kind of emergency correspondence, certainly something like that, it's well informed to kind of work through some of those items. I have had a little bit of kind of like a two-day training session on what that would look like. Heard from some mayors as well as administrators who've had that affected to them. In particular, the mayor of Dayton, as well as some administrators that were in Orlando for that particular shooting. There's a lot of different components that kind of go into the situation. A lot of brave people responding to that situation, making sure that the folks responding are kind of well taken care of, as well as the assessment. And then also with our glass enhancement out front, just some of the practicalities as it relates to being safe and being safe in the workplace. Just continuing as we work towards these plans, certainly there's the tragedy itself, but then there's the administrative aftermath to kind of work through some of those things. And so that'll kind of be with us as we develop those contingencies. And I wish that we didn't have to do that, but that's just the reality of the world right now.
Yeah, and that's where, I would never be able to do the kind of job that the chief does, because, that amount of responsibility, and, I just can't, I can't fathom what it would be like to have to respond to a situation like that. And anything we can do to enhance or facilitate improvements to that response, I'm sure you've gone through it in your mind and through the training that you've gone through, Chief. That's safety, as we've always said, our top priority, and that's the group that we want to keep safe the most. Are the kids in school like that? So if there's anything, I know lately we've been talking about improving the evidence storage, the interview rooms, and now I guess we're now talking about cracks in the floor because of the plumbing that's going to hell down there. So let us know whatever, keep us posted on what's going on, and hopefully we can, if money can make it more effectively handled, then we'll go that route. Obviously, it's a big difference between being broadcast live and being recorded on somebody's phone. So. Any other comments? Mr. Demchik, you're...
Nope.
So, council comments, anybody?
The VFW, the veterans, are going to start meal season. This Friday is Mexican night, and so, obviously, that tacos and burritos and whatever they have there.
That just sounds wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. We could call it taco night, but that was wrong too.
That's absolutely unacceptable. Right out of Mexican night. Okay.
That's right. All everyone right. Should have. The didn't say
I didn't know.
The also more important, September is Suicide Awareness Month, and on the 12th of September, the burger night that was planned, the veterans are gonna donate all proceeds to go to the suicide prevention folks that work within our community, the schools, and so we want that to be very successful for that. We've had our own share of just terrible things with young people taking their life. So that's something that the veterans are taking seriously, and they want to make that donation, for the proper use and get it into the right people's hands. So those are the two things, big things that are going on.
So this Friday,
yes,
the whatever it is, where are we? I need a calendar.
Fifth. It's going to be the fifth.
On September 5th, we're having the
Mexican meals. Okay. Yes.
And then we on the 12th.
12th, which is a Friday as well.
That's a regular burger night. Right?
Yes.
As opposed to some other updates.
And what time is it set?
It's 5. Okay. Yep, 5 to 7. And then all proceeds are going to go to the suicide awareness.
I think I heard this right today. The suicide hotline number is like, is it 988? Mm-hmm. Is that sound familiar? Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't know why. I didn't realize there was one. I guess if you're having issues, you need to call somebody. Or if somebody, you know somebody that's having an issue.
Call 911 and just transfer it.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, it is. It's more of like a crisis hotline. It might not be it is definitely for people that are suicidal and in crisis, but it is more, it can be for parents that are struggling with, their children are having mental health issues or, there's a whole slew of things that it can assist with. So.
Excellent. Okay. Well, that's part of the suicide awareness they're looking for. All right. If there's no other comments.
I just wanted to say how lovely community day was. The weather was great. It's always such a nice event, and you see so many people. And my daughter was the backup to do the national anthem for the vintage ball game, and that was really great. She dressed up in 1860s attire, and it was wonderful, and it was just really, really nice.
And the horn worked out.
It did.
Pretty good. Okay.
Yeah, it was funny listening to her learn how to play it, because like she was totally crashing out.
It's a piece of history.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's like, I hate this thing. But it turned out beautiful. So, yeah,
excellent.
Great.
Very nice. Yeah. All right. With that, we would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Move to adjourn. Support.
Johnston?
Yes.
Sheehan?
Yes.
Vince Lambert?
Yes.
Fitzsimmons?
Yes.
And Barnes?
Yes.